we had the study on the church doctrinal statement, our statement of faith, if you want to. And we got already all down to the last point, which is point J in that study. And we said that we believe in the imminent return of Christ for his bride, the church, which event is referred to as the rapture. We put there the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. We also believe in these events that shall follow the rapture. And so we studied about the 7-year tribulation period, which is Revelation chapter 6 to 19. We learned about the personal Antichrist that is going to be coming on the earth during those 7 years of tribulation and ruling and reigning and causing all kinds of terrible things to happen. We studied about the Battle of Armageddon and the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ to put down the Antichrist and all of his hordes and then to set up his personal kingdom. Today we're going to talk about that kingdom. It's a literal kingdom. It's a literal period of time. The Bible calls it 20 years or 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20. And so this morning I want you to turn with me there, if you will please, to Revelation 20. Now you just read it, and so you got the bigger picture. Now we're going to talk about the smaller picture. We're going to talk about the individual parts of Revelation chapter 20. I have a key verse that I want to put up there for you. In fact, key verse out of Revelation 20, and then I will add to it a segment of the prayer that you have heard all your life that we call the Lord's Prayer. And we've said it ever since we were little children. I can remember saying the Lord's Prayer as a little child. But Revelation 20 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." I want you to underline the word first resurrection in your Bible. If you have a pen in hand and you have it open there, underline those two words, first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. Therefore, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, therefore pray in this way, and you've known this all your life, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed," or holy, by the way, "hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come." That's all I want you to think about. Your kingdom come. You've said that thousands of times in your life, haven't you? As you've said the Lord's Prayer. Now, I have it on the screen in a modern translation, so it's slightly different than your King James, I'm sure. But we all know it from the King James. That's how we learned it as kings. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." There's a key word right there, folks. "As it is in heaven." Now, you're thinking that we're just asking God to make heaven on earth in our lives. But I want you to look at the Lord's Prayer first statement as prophetic, looking ahead. "Thy kingdom come." That suggests it isn't here yet. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now in heaven, there's perfect obedience and submission. The angels in heaven do what the Father wants done. And those that chose not to do the Father's will followed Lucifer, now known as Satan, the devil, the dragon, down to this earth. and has caused no little amount of trouble ever since God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. We want to talk today about the millennium. Now, millennium is not a biblical word. You're not going to find that word in your Bible because it's from the Latin. And guess what? It means a thousand. So you get the picture. That's why we don't call it the thousand kingdom. We call it the millennium kingdom. And so millennium is not a biblical word, but it's a biblical truth. The thousand-year rule of Jesus the Messiah as King of Kings over all the whole earth in righteousness and peace, and the continuing Son of the Kingdom of David. Jesus Christ is going to be the new David. He is called the Son of David. He's called the root out of dry ground. David was called the root of Jesse. Jesus comes in that line. And you can trace that line all the way back to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. And you find it also listed for us in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. So let's talk about the fact of the millennium. The fact of the millennium, and I have 9 facts. There's 5 on the screen, and then we'll have the other 4 on the other screen. First of all, Jehovah decreed it. So let us go all the way back to Psalm chapter 2. How many of you knew the Psalms are prophetic? Yeah, a couple of you. Wonderful. There's a lot of prophecy in the Psalms. Now you say, well, I thought it was just a book of poetry. Aha! Every word in this Bible is from God. And you need to understand that the Bible is God's word. You need to read it. You need to think about it. You need to compare scripture with scripture, old with new, and get the big picture that God wants you and me to know. Why do the nations rage and the people plot or imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords. Guess what? Nations have been doing that forever, haven't they? But prophetically, this is talking about the kingdom of Antichrist. Those 7 years that Antichrist rules and reigns on this earth and counter wickedness to the holiness of God. Now notice God's response in verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall, what's the word? Laugh. What's he laughing at? The foolishness, the wickedness of man, man's attempt to be God on earth. God sits up there and he laughs. It says, he holds them in derision. Verse 5, then he shall speak to them in his wrath. How does God speak to you and me? Love, grace, mercy, peace, patience, kindness, long suffering. That's our God in heaven's method. That's not the method of the world. The method of the world is cutthroat. The method of the world is to stomp on other people to get ahead. The method of this world is to dominate a few people ruling over the masses. Communism doesn't work, folks. Socialism doesn't work. Capitalism does work, but that doesn't mean it get holy. It just makes it the right way to govern a nation and to govern a world. But no, there are people behind the scenes having all kinds of devious and wicked ideas of how to subject us. how to take our money, how to tax us into oblivion, how to get the few that will work to pay for those who don't want to work. You all know that it's getting worse and worse and worse. Why? Because we are approaching the end of the age. Look at verse 6. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill. When has Jesus ruled over Israel? Never. So this has to be prophetic. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. Jehovah has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This is God the Father speaking to his son Jesus. This is God the Father prophesying what Jesus is going to do someday. He is going to come down. He's going to destroy God's enemies. He's going to throw them into hell. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth. And he's going to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 10. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are those who put their trust in him. This is talking about the 1,000-year kingdom age. King of kings, Lord of lords. I say that over and over again. So Jehovah has decreed it. Then Messiah has taught it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Now, if you know your Bible and you know a little prophecy, you know Matthew chapter 24 is referred to as the tribulation passage. And yes, it is. But I also want you to know that there are other things besides just tribulation in that passage. In Matthew 24, let me give you the first part. The disciples have talked to Jesus about when are these things going to be, verse 3. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ or the Messiah, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, I want you to go from there over to verses 27 to 31. That's the beginning of the tribulation I just read. Now I'm going to read the end of the tribulation. Verse 27. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now there's something about directions here. It's not just a casual statement. And if you recall, you may have heard me say this before, and I've said it in some context even this week. When King Jesus comes back, first of all, he takes care of the Babylon problem, which today is Saudi Arabia and Iraq. He is going to fight a major battle and do a tremendous destruction. I believe that he's going to wipe Mecca off the face of the earth. The center of Islam. Now I know people are going to get mad and they're going to listen to this online and they're going to call me a terrible heretic, but that's what the Bible says. He's going to come from the east. He's going to come then to what was Edom. Today it's part of southern Jordan, where God is going to be hiding out hundreds of thousands of Jews who have fled from Jerusalem when Antichrist sets up his image in the temple. From there, he's going to go to the top of the Mount of Olives, and he's going to split it in half. Zechariah 14, you can read that there. From there, the Bible says in another place, he's going to end up at Megiddo. Megiddo is a ruins of 21 cities on top of each other. And anybody that visits Israel gets to visit Megiddo, and I stood on Megiddo. I picked up a little piece of pottery, the handle off something, and brought that home. When I was at Megiddo, I don't know if Art found anything of value at Megiddo when he was there, but I know Art was there once. But he goes there, and by then he has destroyed all the armies of Antichrist. Bing, bang, boom, it's done. And you and I are with him when he does all of this. He doesn't need our help. He just brings us along to watch him do it. We come riding on white horses. That was chapter 19 of Revelation. Now, I know some of you say, well, I never rode a horse in my life. Others, I'm afraid of a horse. Others say, I don't want to ever ride a horse. I'm glad that when we get to heaven, God changes our wanters. Remember, he makes us perfect. We'll be in our perfect new bodies with perfect new ways of thinking about things. I've ridden a horse a few times. I've literally ended up on my head on the ground once. So I know a little bit about that. But you know what? I'm looking forward to that event. Let me read on. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, and I just described that for you, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. What's he talking about? Dead bodies everywhere and cadaverous eating birds everywhere to clean up the mess. Did you know that's also mentioned over in the book of Revelation? He mentions that in Luke 17:37, but he also mentions it over in Revelation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is going to be a momentous time when King Jesus comes riding into town. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now that's how the tribulation ends, and that's how the millennium starts. I could give you some more verses, but I won't. Scriptures teach it. Jeremiah 23, and I have shared this verse with you many times through the years. Jeremiah 23, let's all look there. And you should have this passage underlined in your Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you'll find it in there. 50 chapters long, so it takes a little while to get to the right place. But Jeremiah 23. I'm actually going to start in verse 1. This is a warning to preachers. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Now, that's just a warning. Here's the prophecy. Verse 3, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Have you paid any attention to what's gone on in the last 100 years in relationship to the Jew? Literally, God has brought them back from every country where they were living, where they had been driven. And Israel is being filled with Jews from all over the world. Not only that, but God has turned the barren land into fruitful land. There are orchards. There are plantations of all kinds of produce. They ship produce all over the world. You think of Florida as the citrus belt? Well, Israel has a citrus belt. Israel has all kinds of prosperity when it comes to agriculture. God promised that he would make the desert blossom as a rose. It's happened, folks. It's happened. And now God has shown them where to find oil and gas. For a long time, they had to buy it all from other nations. And one of the favorite tricks of the enemy was to chop off the supply lines every once in a while. Well, God has given Israel their own oil wells and their own gas wells. And they are shipping. God made that promise way back in Deuteronomy that in the end times he would bring Israel back. He is. Now they're going to get driven out, a whole lot of them, out of their land during the tribulation period. There'll be one last dispersal during the tribulation period. But then you notice who gathers them then? We read it in Matthew. What was it? The angels are going to go and pick them up wherever they are and bring them all back to Israel for the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at here. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to the fold. And they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. You know what I think? I think that Pastor Scott and myself and hundreds of thousands of other preachers are going to get to teach and preach during the millennium. We'll be in our new glorified bodies, so we won't say anything wrong. Isn't that awesome? How do you think, Brother Scott? Looking forward to that, right? And guess what? You engineers and you mechanical people, you're going to be teaching during the kingdom age here on earth. You're going to be teaching. You're going to be judging, it says. It says we're even going to judge angels. Not the angels of heaven, but the ones that have fallen. We get to judge them too. Wow. Amazing. I have there a whole list of scriptures, but let me read on here. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will raise to David a branch of righteousness, or a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness on the earth. In his days, whose days? The king, who is from David's root, David's branch. The righteous king, who's that? Jesus, King Jesus. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will be dwelling safely. And now this is the name by which he will be called. Jehovah, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Do you know what the Hebrew word is? Yehovah Tzidkenu. Yehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. They shall no longer say, as the Lord lives that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, but rather, as the Lord lives who brought us and led up the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them. What's north of Israel? Russia. Are there Jews in Russia? Not as many as there used to be. You know, we talk about Hitler killing 6 million Jews. We fail to realize that Stalin killed 50 million people in his country. Many of them were Jews. Also, there's a tremendous movement out of Russia of Jews over the last 30, 40 years. So many of the Jews that are now in the land of Israel came from Russia. God is at work, my friend. I'm going to skip all those other passages. Isaiah chapter 2. Oh, I can't skip that one. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Now you hear that at Christmas time and you say, well, that's a Christmas passage. Well, really? I want you to pay attention here. Isaiah 9, 2. Or Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. There it is. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. This part you know. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is our Christmas passage, right? But notice the rest of verse 6. The government, that's the right to rule, by the way, shall be upon his shoulders. And then we know the next part, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now I put those two together as one title, Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, verse 7, of the increase of his, what's the next word, everybody? Government. Very good. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. When is that going to take place? It certainly hasn't happened right now, has it? It's not going on at this moment. It never has. Reverend Herman Graybill, many years ago, I had him in my church down in Pennsylvania. And he said this, studies have showed there's only been 18 years in all of human history that hasn't been conflict somewhere. It started with Abel and Cain, didn't it? And it's been going on ever since. Wars and war, rumors of wars. But notice what it says. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Wow. I couldn't skip that verse. Now, you'll notice that I say up there, and if you're looking at my notes, that Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah 9, Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 60 through 66, and Ezekiel 40 through 44, all deal with the millennium. So even though we have the number over in Revelation chapter 20, 1,000 years, the details are all over the Old Testament to find out what's really going on. Now, we already looked at Psalm 2, but if you go back to Psalm 24 with me, one of my favorite passages is Psalm 24. Now, you all know Psalm 23, don't you? But what is Psalm 22? When you get there, I'll point out something to you. Psalm 22 is the passage that deals with the suffering Savior. Psalm 23 is the sufficient shepherd. And Psalm 24 is about the coming sovereign, the suffering Savior, the sufficient shepherd, and the sovereign. Here comes Jesus. The earth is the Lord's, Jehovah. The earth is Jehovah's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas, established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from Elohim, his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those that seek him. Is anybody seeking the Lord? Sure, there's Jews getting saved all the time. All over the world, God is saving Jews, but that's a small number compared to all of the Jews in the world. By most of them are not even God-fearing anymore. They are totally materialistic. But God's going to change their heart. During the tribulation, God is going to turn the hearts of his people back to him. And it says in one place that when they see the scars in his hands, they are going to mourn as a nation. And they're going to realize he came already and we killed him. And there'll be mass repentance and conversion to Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation when he comes back to earth. Let me finish. Lift up your heads, O gates. What gates? The gates of Jerusalem. They've been stoned up by one of the former Islamic rulers of that area so that Jesus cannot come through and fulfill this prophecy. Do you think the God who made the universe is going to have any trouble blowing that hole right back through and walking through the Golden Gate into Jerusalem and taking over the Temple Mount? Absolutely not. God will have no trouble. God will take care of that. Notice what it says. Lift up your head, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, mighty in battle. And when he gets there, he will have just fought all those battles and wiped out his enemies at his coming. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Over in Revelation, we read that he is the Lord of hosts. And the host is you and me and all of the millions of Christians that have been saved through the ages that make up the church, the body, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, I covered four. I only have five more to go of that section. Maybe next week. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Are you prepared to meet the King? On our prayer time this morning, I mentioned someone 29 years old. One minute he's mowing a lawn, the next minute he's buried in the water underneath the lawnmower, dead. The other morning, three cars came together on Route 369, left some serious injuries. It can happen just like that, and you're snuffed out into eternity. Make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. Make sure you are his child. Make sure you are ready for his coming. He will come again. Gracious Heavenly Father, look into the hearts and lives of these folks. Do your convicting work, I pray, to speak to those that are not ready and show them that even though they may have made a profession at some time, they don't have the real thing. They've been deceived and tricked by the devil himself. God, I pray that you would bring them in conviction to bow their knee before you and to cry out and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. We who are your children, Father, help us to live like your children. Help us to live godly and holy lives, putting away the things that bind us and allow the Lord to draw us closer to you than ever before. Help us to walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and to be fruitful in every good work and to increase in our knowledge of you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.